so.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Starscast, also known as Natalie, and I've got my panel here tonight, and our topic tonight is going to be grief, how to cope with it, what to do, some little things that some of the people on the panel have done that have worked. We all have gone through it. We've all experienced the whole thing, and of course, it's not fun what you go through, but anyways, I have with me tonight Stars James and Stars Dragon Spirit to discuss all the things that go with grief and the steps forward and the steps back, and I'm going to let Stars James take it away.
Well, hello, this is Stars James, and I just want to welcome everyone to the show. If you like anything that you hear here on the show, or if you are in the chat room and you're getting to talk to someone, the people who are working the show are all available on starspsychics.com. It's stars with a Z. On the show today, we have me on the website. I'm Stars James, but we also have Cheyenne, and Cheyenne is Stars Dragon Spirit on the website. So for the radio show purposes, I will just be referring to her as Cheyenne. But keep in mind, if you want to talk to her outside of the radio show, you can talk to her through starspsychics.com, and that's stars with a Z. And again, we are going to be talking about grief. Oh, I want to give you the phone number too. If you're listening, and this is one topic that I don't know very many people who are, I think that younger people may not really understand, what it means to lose someone in the grieving process. But, most people on this planet have experienced grief to some degree in their life, experienced loss to some degree in their life. And, if you feel like you want to call in, if you have something to add or something to share with, or even have a question for us about our topic, please feel free to do so. It is an open forum where you can call in and ask your questions and make your comments. The phone number for us is 347-838-9736. I'll give it to you one more time. It is 347-838-9736. So again, please feel free to call us if you have something to add that's related to the topic, or if you have a question about the topic, like maybe something that one of us said didn't quite make sense to you. We would be glad to elaborate on it a little bit more. So I think I'm going to jump right in. Again, we both have said that this is something that most people have gone through. Most people have experienced some level of loss and grief. I think that to a certain degree we experience grief differently because our really what grief is. First, I want to give you my personal definition of grief. I have, when I was younger, I lost my brother. I've actually lost three brothers since then, but when I was very young, I lost the brother that was closest to me when I was about 7 or 8 years old. Then, as I grew up, I'd lost two more brothers. My best friend passed away. And then just recently in February, my father's passed away. So right now, because of what happened in February, I'm actually going through the grieving process right now. So this is really, for me, a good thing to talk about. It may be an emotional thing, so I want to give everyone that insight as well. I'm not sure if it will be. Spirit and I had a conversation about this before, and, as you move forward in grief, what happens is the severity of the feelings that you're feeling actually dissipate quite a bit. And, when there's some sort of separation at the beginning, it's usually very overwhelming. And then as you move on, maybe once a week, once every few days, once a month. And then, that seems to be, at least in my experience, how the grieving process works. And I am still in the grieving process. Whenever it comes up, it just is what it is, and I work with it. I'll be talking a little bit about my own personal experience with grieving, but I do not work against the process. If I'm feeling pain, I have actually in my life become friends with the pain. And I know that sounds like that doesn't make sense to a lot of people because people don't like being in pain. But to me, pain always gives us a message. It's actually when I am experiencing pain, it is part of Spirit's way of communicating with me, and it's the way that we evolved and we've been created to have pain, because it tells us something is going on. So I actually, when I'm working with other people or for my own personal work, I view pain as something that is just a message. Whether it's, you know, I stub my toe and, you know, I have pain in my foot is telling me, hey, try not to kick the door again. You know, there's an intrinsic message in what's going on in my body. Or, you know, if I have stomach pain, it may be because I ate too much fudge that day. I'm on vacation and I had a lot of fudge. We were talking about that earlier. So, but, you know, there's usually pain has a message. It's telling us that there is something going on, whether inside of our bodies. And when that's happening, sometimes it can be treated, you know, without a doctor. And sometimes we need to go seek medical help for that. And it's telling us that we need to go see a doctor to find out what's really going on inside of our bodies. So pain is not really ever an enemy. It was an enemy at one time. What I found with pain is it's a very persistent friend, and it's one of those friends that will never leave you alone until you deal with what's going on. It's not necessarily a friend you want to see every day, but every time I experience some level of pain, I know that there's something going on, that there's something I need to know. Whether it's in my body or in my emotions, like with the grieving process. And I don't want to get too much into that because it is something I would like to talk about after I give Cheyenne an opportunity to speak. But to me, grief and the pain associated with grief is actually associated with the physical attachment we have with another individual. It doesn't necessarily have to be an individual. It can be with one of our pets, an animal, or even something that we own. But it's a physical attachment that is no longer there. That's why we experience the pain associated with loss. And like I said, it does not have to be loss associated with someone passing away or dying. It can be associated with the loss of a relationship, which to me, you know, I have not really had to experience that a lot in my life, but to me that seems like it would be a much more difficult pain because, you know, it's like the person just doesn't want to be in relationship with you any longer. And I don't know, I would feel like that would be one that's a little more difficult to reconcile, but maybe not, I don't know. Maybe Cheyenne can share a little bit about that. But that's my little introduction about the process and how I feel about pain associated with grief. So I'll go ahead and pass it on to Cheyenne. Cheyenne, what do you have to add to kind of like the definition, or what are your thoughts on the subject?
Okay, thank you, James. And first off, thanks everybody who's come tonight. I think this is a very good subject because of the simple fact that grief is an emotion, and a lot of people bury their emotions instead of dealing with them. And that can be a dangerous area to get into. And like you said, there's a lot of deeper areas I'd like to get into with it. But for right now, they're an emotion. It's an emotion, period, bottom, blank. And the emotions are the most elusive part of our minds, our bodies as a human being. And somehow your emotions and what you're feeling and thinking and so forth, your body reacts. It, your surroundings react to it, and it's not always easy to deal with. But it has, as you said, it needs to be faced, and it needs to be dealt with. But one thing I want to really get across is it takes time. It took time to build the relationship with whatever. As you said, James, I like that part. It doesn't necessarily mean that a human being has crossed over. It can be with a pet. It can be with something that you've had from your great-great-grandmother and you've lost. It applies to anything that you have an emotional attachment to that no longer exists in your life. I'm not being insensitive here, but what I want to say is that really we're crying for ourselves because we no longer have that. We don't have that in our lives, and it leaves a big hole in us. And we're going to miss, and we miss having that space taken, and all of a sudden there's a big hole. And I've tried to express to a lot of people that hole needs to be dealt with, because it's what I call the black pit. That's where everything's going to dump. That's where everything's going to come from. And like I said, it takes time. It's a day-to-day basis. When you're grieving or you're dealing with something, it's going to take time to reconcile yourself and your emotions and your body and your lifestyle sometimes. So it takes a lot. Some people say there's only 7 stages of grieving. Some say that there are 10. There is an outline that people use, but each one of those outlines go very, very deep. And a lot of the times when people grieve, they withdraw because of the pain and because of that missing whatever or whomever it has passed. They withdraw and they go within and they stay there. And, you know, you're always going to have people around you who's going to say, okay, now get up off your fanny and let's go do this, or you need to do that. It seems like at times when you're going through grieving, people aren't asking you what it is that you need or what it is that you're feeling or what it is that you feel would help or assist you. You're going to end up having a whole bunch of people around you telling you what you should do, what you need to do. And right off the bat, when somebody immediately, say for instance, lost a loved one, and then tomorrow you have all these people around you telling you this and telling you that, your head's going to swim. Everything's going to come at you like a boulder's going to hit you in the head. And again, I say time. You know, if someone's telling you something and you're really not ready to handle it or deal with it, then say, you know, I appreciate your concern, but I'm really not ready to hear this right now. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you take it on your terms, not someone else's terms. Everybody knows what grieving is, but every single individual handles the grieving process differently. We're all, you know, the whole thing is we're not supposed to be mimicking each other. We're all individuals, and we're all the same, but yet we're different. So take your time. Go in the steps that you need to take. Again, I'd like to get into a couple of things deeper, but don't get lost. Don't sit there and get lost in your head, because honestly, your head has nothing to do with it. Don't blame yourself. Don't look for things, you know, to push out insofar as, well, if I would have done this, if I would have done that. No, that doesn't exist. That is something that we do to ourselves, and most of us, because of our upbringing and the way that we are and the things that we see and learn, that is a very big thing. You start blaming yourself. It's not about blame. And it's not about, you know, hurting someone else. And it's not about this or that. It's about what you are feeling, your emotions at the given moment. You don't know how you're going to feel an hour from now. You're not going to know how you're going to feel tomorrow. You just know that something's gone, and it's hurting, and it's not feeling good. And, you know, a lot of the times people will cry, and I will hear other people get onto them and say, stop crying, stop crying. No, that is one of the most foolish things. And this is my opinion. This is one of the most foolish things I could ever hear anyone say, is stop crying. Crying is a release. Crying lets go of that tension, that stress. And believe it or not, it actually helps empty out some of that stuff out of your head. If you feel to cry, then you cry. If you feel to scream and you're someplace else, I don't care, you go in a bathroom and scream, or you find a pillow, bury your head in it, and scream your lungs out. But don't let someone else sit there and dictate to you what you are doing right or wrong. There is no right and wrong in this. There is no per se, correct, politically correct way of dealing or doing anything. It is up to you. It goes on a daily basis. And you are the best one that knows what you need. Just be honest with yourself and don't be afraid to feel. Because that's just part of us as human beings. You're going to feel. If you weren't sad, you wouldn't know what happy is, and vice versa. Everything is not always, you know, utopia, euphoria, and everything else. We have these for a reason. These hills and these mountains that we climb up and down, it exists for a reason. And believe it or not, you will get to a certain point doing it your way that you will have a cleansing. And you will get things straight within yourself, for yourself, when it's time. So I would have to say right now, not to eat up too much, James, just take your time with things. And, you know, it doesn't hurt to listen to other people, but when it starts sounding like blah, 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 and you got mom and dad that really aren't your mom and dad telling you what you need to do, what you better do, and everything else, you know what? Look at them and say, you know what? I really don't need to hear that right now, but thank you for being concerned. And then do what you need to do. Mm-hmm. And with that, James, I'll go ahead and give it back to you.
No, that was lovely. I really liked a lot of what you had to say. I want to go back to the lifestyle aspect of it for just a moment, because part of what we are experiencing as we're grieving is we're experiencing a new normal, a new dynamic for our lives. Especially, I've watched my parents, you know, and they, for the past 35, well, I'm not 35 years old, but, you know, they were married for 35 years, and I watched my parents, you know, in their relationship and in that development. And, you know, my mother, her attachment to my father is, you know, it was very strong. I mean, they both owned their own businesses. They both worked from home. They worked together. And then they did the personal life together. And yeah, they actually each had separate things that they both liked, you know, that they liked doing on their own. But most of the time they were together. And so my mother's new normal, her new lifestyle is very different. And so, you know, there's definitely, it's almost like a learning curve for what the new normal is. And that's part of what the grief process is. And again, it's our physical, our attachment to that person as a physical being and how we interact with that person and that dynamic. But it's also a part of what the grieving process is who we are, because it drastically changes. Like in my mother's situation, it drastically changes the fundamentals of her daily life. And so the parts of her daily life that were interacting with my father are no longer there. So she's not just grieving that over my father being gone. She's grieving over who she was as a wife. And I'm grieving over who I was or who I am as a son to my father. So that's another dynamic that is very important that we need to understand. And that is not selfish to grieve over what, you know, not just what we lost in that person, but what we're essentially losing in ourselves in terms of that dynamic of the relationship. So I think that's another thing that, you know, the lifestyle, I really liked what you had to say with that. And grieving on your own terms versus allowing someone else to kind of help you along the process. I was really grateful. I'm in Michigan. It's not really, you know, I live in a city, but to me it's rural because I lived in Kansas City for so many years that, you know, I mean, it's very rural experience. It's a rural experience for me, even though it's not, you know, necessarily the country. And I actually have appreciated the fact that I'm not around all of my friends, because in Kansas City, probably what would have happened was I would have surrounded myself constantly with people. And not that that's a bad thing. You know, it's wonderful. I have this beautiful family of friends in Kansas City, and you know, I am very involved with a few different organizations there, and you know, and I think it was really good for me this time around to not be around a lot of people. You know, I don't have a lot of relationships with people here, and I think how I view it through the process that I'm going through right now and over the past few months is I am kind of that the isolation has kind of insulated me from what other people would think is my best, because my, you know, I am. One of the things is when I was in Kansas City, I was surrounded by plenty of people who knew what was absolutely best for me. The nice thing about me is I do develop good boundaries with people, so I do feel very comfortable telling somebody, you know, that's really not where I'm at right now. So, you know, thank you. I always appreciate it when people kind of make suggestions, but it's so true that the grieving process. What I feel is speaking more than what somebody else can tell us, whether you have a book on grieving or you have a friend, which I feel like all of the resources that you can have as you're walking through this process are wonderful. I have read books. I've experienced a lot of, I actually went to grief counseling when my best friend died. I think it's a wonderful resource, but the reality of it is the pain is the one that's speaking. At that time, and you're the one going through that. It is a very personal process. It's not, you know, someone is not going to be able to tell you the right way to do this. And I'll give you an example from two different clients that I've had over the years. Two of them really stick out in my mind related to this process. One of them was not technically grieving. She was caught in a cycle of depression. And then the other one, she was grieving over a lost relationship. And so I'll start with the one grieving over a lost relationship. We had been talking, and I said, you know, let's see what the pain is speaking to you. I feel the pain is speaking to you, saying to you that you need to cry. She said, well, I've tried that, but every time I try crying, somebody tells me to stop. Or, you know, I feel like if I start crying, I'll never stop. And I reassured her that I felt spirit saying, you will eventually stop. You're not going to cry forever. And so during our session, what we did is we cried together for a while. And I didn't cry the whole time, but I actually did share tears with her, which I think for her was important to be able to see emotion being expressed. In fact, I think I may have even started crying first, if I remember the scenario correctly. I'm pretty sure I was the one that started crying first. The tears started coming in my eyes as we were talking about the loss that she had experienced. And I was not telling her that this was going to fix the problem. I just felt like Spirit was saying that this is what needed to happen. And she went through, you know, and then she started crying. And I would say probably about, there were interludes, but I would say it probably lasted a full 10 minutes, which for crying is quite a long time. But, you know, again, there were times when it would lighten up, and then there were times when it would get heavy again. And I personally, as I've grieved, you know, like when I first lost my dad, there were times when I'd cried for full hours, because that's really what I felt the pain was saying. You need to cry right now, you know. But there's no set time, and that was really, you know, she was a regular client of mine. She's not anymore, because the way that I do my clients is I always try to get to a point where they don't need me as much, where they can hear from Spirit on their own. And I really feel like for her, she's reached that point, which is good. And I still talk to her once in a while, but she's not a regular client of mine. So I'm constantly always working myself out of a job, but Spirit always reminds me there's plenty of people in pain, so it's okay. Anyway, so yeah, that was one experience. And then the other experience was another lady, and she was experiencing depression. And I actually don't remember exactly why, now that I think about it. I'm not sure what she was going through, but she was crying every day. And, you know, I said, well, I don't think the pain is telling you to cry anymore. I think you've already went through that part of the process. And so we talked about it a little bit, and I actually think that she was the one who recognized that it was anger, that she needed to express some anger. I don't remember exactly. if it was spirit saying it to me, because I remember what we were doing was we were talking about the pain and what that might be saying. And I can remember very clearly that you know, I said, well, you need to give yourself permission to be angry. And she did at that time. And I think I told her, go home and grab a pillow and go beat up your couch. And that was very healing for her. In fact, I think that was the end of her cycle of depression. I know that she's out of it now, and I don't know if that was the exact end or if there was more that she needed to process. The one thing I would like to say about depression, though, because I've been doing pastoral counseling along with, I also do psychic work as well, but sometimes I feel like it is appropriate for people who are in a place of depression and they cannot find their way out of it. I do believe it is appropriate at times to seek medical attention for that. I have actually been on antidepressants in my life, and they were very beneficial in the short term for me. They helped me get through a rut, I would say maybe 7 or 8 years ago now. So I want to, because I think sometimes we get so caught up in the idea that, oh, it's all spirit, and then we just kind of throw out medicine, and that's not necessarily always the best option. Sometimes we just need to, I would suggest for my clients, always ask. If it's something that, you know, you're not sure if you're going to get out of, ask spirit, you know, if it's appropriate for you to go seek medical attention, because sometimes it is very appropriate for people to seek medical attention. I do not personally feel like it should be the first option to get put on a drug because you're in grief or because you're in depression. I don't feel like it's appropriate as the first option, but I certainly feel like it is appropriate at times in our lives. So I just wanted to put that out there as well. That, you know, if you're in that level of pain, ask the pain, you know, is it appropriate for me to go on medication for the short term? And that may actually help your, the chemicals inside of your body to get back into balance so that you're able to move forward. Let me see here. Another thing, too, in talking to people, one thing that I have found is not useful, and this actually transcends more than just the grieving process. This is, you know, if you're angry or whatever you're feeling, if you're having negative emotion, is be very cautious of getting into the cycle of telling the poor, pitiful me story. It is not beneficial to anyone. It is beneficial to talk about your emotions, but it is not beneficial to continually look for people to side with you on whatever your emotion you're experiencing. That normally doesn't get rid of the pain. However, if you're doing it within the context of needing more understanding of your pain, I think it is very useful. So, you know, if you're going through this process, if you find yourself going through this process in the future, make sure that when you interact with others, you find out what story you're telling and what if it's appropriate for the situation. I believe this wholeheartedly. The poor, pitiful me story is never going to fix the problem. It is going to reinforce the negative feeling. I want to be cautious too. I do not feel pain is negative, so I don't want to say negative feeling. I will say the painful feeling. It will simply reinforce it if you're just telling that story. If you're seeking resolution, that's when it's going to bring healing. So let me look at time here. Well, I guess I could talk for a few more minutes. I also said that pain, to me, pain is the voice of God. And that's why I feel it's so, the most important thing if you're experiencing any kind of pain is to simply ask why it's there. And I know that sounds very simple, but I do not believe that pain can be there without a cause, without a root reason. Again, sometimes that means go seek medical attention because it's necessary. But I always believe that pain is pointing to a truth, a higher truth about the situation. So, you know, the strongest thing, if you don't get anything else from me today, the strongest thing that I would say to you is begin to ask the pain why it's there. And then, you know, quiet yourself. And the answer may be different. That's why I gave the two different stories. about the clients that I was working with, because the answer may be you need to go cry. The answer may be you need to create better boundaries with people. The answer may be you need to go beat up a couch with a pillow. I like Cheyenne, you had said, don't get stuck in your head with this. And that is probably the best advice that I think, you know, could have been given, because oftentimes what you're thinking the feeling is about is not necessarily what the feeling is about. And you may have a first idea. Try the first idea. If the pain doesn't go away, it means that's not the answer. So if you have pain and your first instinct is to cry, and that doesn't work, try something different. It may be that, you know, you need to go beat up the couch or whatever, go for a jog. So I wouldn't just, I think that we overthink things. We are very logical in our society. We overthink things. And usually when it comes to emotional pain, reason is beneficial, but it doesn't always get you out of the pain. You have to walk through whatever the pain is. And then, of course, to me, I think I've talked about it on previous shows, suffering. I'm very anti-suffering. I do not feel that you need to suffer when you're going through pain. Pain I do not equate with suffering. Suffering is when you're resisting pain. You're either resisting what it's telling you or you're just detached to the pain. And that to me is why suffering happens, because to me, pain is a faithful friend. Pain has always, ever since I came to the conclusion that pain was a beloved friend, I greet pain. Now if I'm experiencing pain, I greet it. And sometimes it says you ate too much fudge, and other times it says you need to cry. But pain is always a, you know, an ally telling you leading you to a higher truth. So with that, Cheyenne, I am going to go ahead and pass it back on to you.
Okay. Thanks, James. I agree with a few things that you had said, and it touched a little bit on what I was going to bring up. Pain will wake you up to things. No matter what it is, it's going to wake you up to things, whether it's time to do something or whether it's time to change something. Emotions are not logical. They're not rational. They're not reasonable. Emotions are just emotions. They're a feeling. And what you decide you want to do with that feeling or that idea that comes from that feeling is a totally different story. It's like when you're on your path. And this, I'm going to jump back and forth here for 1 second. It's like when you're on your path, okay, through your journey. There will be issues through time that will come up again and again. And, again, it's like when you're on your journey. And each time that comes up, it gives you a chance to feel about it differently. And further down the road, further through time, maybe something will come up that you used to cry about, and then all of a sudden, further down the line, you find yourself smiling when it comes up. And that happens a lot. One of the biggest things for myself, and again, this is me in my life, was when I lost my grandfather, because he truly was my father. We were very close. He was a full-blooded Cherokee Indian. And he always understood me to where everyone else in my family didn't. And when he passed, to me, my whole world had just fell apart completely. But what I found interesting was, even though I went through, you know, the grieving and the crying and everything else, I found myself at a later time when I saw a picture or when I was playing a card game that we used to like, or whatever, he would be the first thing that would pop up in my mind, and I would find myself smiling. And then I knew it was healed. In that given second, for myself, when I caught myself smiling, I knew I was healed in that area. And that is the way grieving goes. grieving goes in layers. It goes in stages. Candy, I love the thing that you put in the email with the chart and everything. But one thing I would like to add, now, again, there are stages. And you can look on the internet, you can look in books and everything else, and it's going to give you all these stages. Well, folks, I hate to tell you, but from my own personal experience, it doesn't necessarily go in those particular orders. It'll go out of order. And quite a few clients, when I first told them that, they kind of, you know, boy, you're weird. And then they'd come back later and say, you know something, you're right. Because it didn't go in the exact order that it was listed. It started bobbing around. Like I said, most people go by seven stages. The shock and the denial, and then, of course, the pain and the guilt. And believe it or not, folks, a lot of the pain is associated with guilt. You know, why didn't I do this? I should have done that. Blah, blah, blah. And the thing is that, again, that's when the blame game starts coming in. Do not do that to yourselves. That pain is there because something that you loved dearly was within your touch or earshot or whatever. And as James had said, it's no longer there. So now, all of a sudden, it's not there. And that part of you and that piece of your life is missing. And then there will be a part of you that's going to start panicking. Well, what do I do now? It's not there. What am I going to do? And that's when you need to breathe, slow down, and again, time is a factor. Anger is a definite. Anyone, including myself, that I have ever known that's gone through the grieving process goes through the anger. And again, I don't put a time limit on any of these things, none of them, because it may go a month, it may go a year, it may go 5 years. But again, each time it comes up, it'll be at a different level. It'll be in a different way. So it's going to give you a choice if you just say, okay, I'm going to let go of it, or this is the action I'm going to take with it. And two, good thing, change the thing that you brought up about depression. That's what I was saying before. People have a habit of withdrawing, and they withdraw into themselves. And they bury themselves in the pain and stay locked up. That's not good for anyone, any of us. It's suffocating. It is literally draining you instead of empowering you. It is draining you, and it is dropping your energy vibration so low that you're not going to see outside of that. For me, as you, James, I went through a series of depression, and I used it for reflection. It's a lonely time, and it is, because it is about me. It's not somebody else that's going through it. It's me. And for me, and my Native American beliefs and so forth and so on, I took up bear. For a long time, I wore bear. Bear goes into hibernation. And once you go into hibernation and you go within yourself, you start learning about yourself, learning about the issue, learning and feeling and deciding what you're going to do with these things. Then, you know, there is going to come a time when things are going to shift. And all of a sudden, you know, it's not like you're going to go to bed one night and say, okay, in the morning, that's it. It's over with. It's done with. And I'm going to do this. It's going to happen naturally. It's a natural process. There are people who go through their journeys, and when you're on your path, and say a certain part of you, a certain programmed part of you that has done something for so many years, this certain particular way, all of a sudden, it's not good for you anymore. And you decide that you're going to choose a different path, a different way of thinking, or a different way of doing something, you will actually feel a loss or a grieving period for that part of you that you are letting go. Because it's been a part of you. It's something that you've been attached to. Emotionally, physically, mentally, you've been attached to it. And it's like, it's gone. It's just gone. And you will go through minor depressions or mourning periods over that. But as long as you stick with yourself and stay true to yourself and to what you're feeling, then you're going to be doing what you need to do for you. And again, nobody can tell you what to do or tell you how to do it. There can be people that can assist you, that can give you an opinion if you ask them, that can give you support with something if you ask them. It needs to be what you are needing, not what somebody is throwing at you, but something that you are needing. If you feel that you need to go talk, then definitely by all means, find whoever it is you want to and talk. If you need to go down and chop down a tree, go chop down a tree. Just make sure that you stay true to yourself, because it is very, very easy for us to fall into that. Well, one part that you're talking about, James, it kind of reminded me of victim martyr. Don't fall into that victim. Don't fall into that deep well and say, this is just the way it is. You know, because it's not. There's a lot more to you. There is a part of you that is now missing. There is a part of you that has now passed away. Not all of you. Not your soul. Not all of you. It's a part of you. So, you know, what do you do when you cut your finger? You do what you need to do to take care of it. You put something on it, you put a Band-Aid on it, and it's healed. It's the same thing with the rest of your body and your mind. If you're hurt, if you're in pain, listen to yourself. Realize that this is why it's there. If you're sitting in pain or some thought comes across your mind, it just may be totally off the wall. Like you see yourself going for a walk in the park, or you see yourself going to pet a dog, or whatever it is, honor that within yourself. When you feel that you need something, who cares what everybody else thinks? Do it. Because it's not them that's going through it. It is you that is going through it. And then you get to a point where, you know, you start working through everything, and then you start reconstructing. That hole, that piece that's missing, you're going to fill it with something else. You're going to reconstruct another part of you. You're going to realize another part of you that you want to add to yourself that makes you happy. And, you know, at the end it would be acceptance and hope. So accepting something does not mean, you know, that someone just sits there and says, oh, no, I'm over that. I accept that. No. Acceptance is when you can sit in your own skin and say, this is what's happened. This is how I feel. And you're not reacting to it. You're not feeling a sadness. You're not feeling to cry. You're not feeling pain. Acceptance is when you can sit comfortably and say, this has happened, and I'm moving on. And that stage does come. As long as people are willing to give themselves time and listen to themselves and follow what they think is best. Now, I'm not saying, well, if you think to go jump off of a bridge, go jump off of a bridge. That's not what I'm saying here. You know. It might be something silly, okay? It might be something as simple as a card game. It might be simple as some electronic little game to play. It may be just going outside and walking along and seeing how many flowers that you see or colors that you see. It's all about you and what you need to heal and to progress. And if you don't feel that you're healing or progressing, then you sit still and you ask your guides and you listen or you watch, because I guarantee you, you will get an answer in some form or shape. You will get an answer. But unless, you know, you really feel to, you should feel it within yourself to go out and say, okay, this is what I need, and I need somebody to talk to, then find someone to talk to. But again, give it time. Don't judge yourself and say, well, I should have already been over this. And definitely do not let people bombard you in telling you what you should do. There are no shoulds. When somebody has a loss, that is a very, very personal thing. And there is no one that can take that away from you. There is no one that can heal that for you but you. So with that, I'll go ahead and give it back to you, James.
Thank you, Sharon. I loved everything that you said, by the way. But one of the things I kind of wanted to mention, and I want to touch on some things that you had mentioned too, is that we sometimes we grieve over situations that were not in our highest interest or not the best experiences at the time. And what I mean by that is I actually had a client at one time who finally got the courage to leave her a very abusive, very bad relationship, a lot of verbal abuse and emotional abuse in the relationship. And everyone around her was thrilled, obviously. You know, all of her friends, well, all two of them that were remaining after the abusive relationship, and you know, her parents were thrilled, and everyone around her was, oh, this is great. And she was in a process of grieving at the time. Part of it was she was healing from what had happened in the relationship and the severity of that. But there is, I mean, again, one of the things that we had mentioned earlier is that there is a grief associated with the lifestyle that has changed as a result of the loss. And part of what she was feeling was there was a, even though the relationship was, you know, emotionally distressing and abusive, there was a dynamic in the relationship that kept her there, and that's what she was really, that's what she had experienced grief over. And I remember Spirit telling me, and I was kind of like, oh, good for you, you know, you had the courage to get out of this relationship. I felt like it was really good, but then Spirit kept bringing back to me, you need to talk to her about grief. And I'm like, well, talk to her about grief? She's doing so good right now, you know. And once I brought it up, a lot of things came to the surface. And so I think that this goes right into the idea of don't judge what's going on. You know, I think that that's so important. That actually, you know, you had mentioned the stages of grief, Cheyenne, and I think that the important part, I've read several books on grief, I went to grief counseling, and I think the important part of those books and the stages of grief and all of what the information out there on grief is so that we can understand that what we are going through is a part of a normal process. We are not some freak of nature that is experiencing this outside of the realm of humanity, but we are experiencing something that others have experienced. It gets us to a place where we no longer judge the pain or judge the experience of the grief itself and walking through it. So I think that, to me, the intrinsic value of the information that is out there, and there's a plethora of information out there, but the value of the information that's out there is not necessarily so you can learn how to grieve. It is so that you can feel comfortable in your own skin while you're doing it. And that's why, you know, I would recommend, first of all, I would recommend not trying to put it on a timeline saying, okay, and then tomorrow I'm going to feel, you know, anger, and then the next day I'll feel this, and then don't do that to yourself. But I do feel like if you use it in an appropriate manner, the information out there is tremendous and very, very healing in itself. Another thing that you had mentioned too, Cheyenne, was you talked about your grandfather, and I think you said you were playing cards or something, but what you had said was, and when I laughed, I knew I was healed. That is, you know, that is so true with the way that this process works, because ideally, and I'm not sure, you know, I actually want to ask you, Cheyenne, have you experienced that as you grieve, your experience of your life, you still experience your loved one more so because you are letting go of the physical dynamic of the relationship and embracing a different dynamic, which is astral or spiritual. Have you experienced
that?
I mean,
yes.
Oh yeah. I actually feel like. Yeah, me too. I'm feeling it actually more so. I felt it more so with my best friend and my father, who are the two previous that have passed away. But I feel like as what I've been noticing is as I walk through the pain of the associated with the physical connection, the physical attachment that I have with that individual, as I am letting go of that pain through the process of grieving, whether it's crying or beating up a couch or whatever the process I'm in at the moment, there is certainly a dynamic of the new relationship, which is spiritual, that opens up for me. I don't remember ever experiencing that with my brothers, but it may have just been I was in a different part of my spiritual walk. So I don't want to tell you that. I was actually very cautious to even bring it up, mainly because I don't want you to think, oh, well, you know, if I cry a lot, I'm going to start experiencing it. I feel like it's available to you, but I want to let you know that out of the five people that have died in my life, I've really only experienced that dynamic with two of them. When my brothers passed away, I was not necessarily, I feel like I've always been on a spiritual path, but I was not necessarily at the same level or at the same experience of spirit as I am now. So I actually wanted to be a little cautious to share that, but I did want to bring it up because I do feel like it is a legitimate part of this process, that as you let go of that physical attachment, things really do open up to you. And you know, I experienced my dad every day, and I've actually experienced it through, experienced him through the grieving process.
Yeah, it just changes
well.
Form, that's all. It just changes
exactly,
form.
Exactly, exactly. The dynamic changes, but, you know, I mean, it's still part of, actually, this vacation, I'm on a vacation right now. I mentioned it to Cheyenne and earlier, but I'm actually on a vacation right now, and part of the reason why we went on the vacation was because it was my father's birthday on Thursday last week, and he loved to go to casinos, and so we decided to go to the Upper Peninsula and we went to 9 different casinos, some of them more than once, but we also, you know, went and saw the sights and Mackinac Island and all that. But, you know, and we were actually celebrating. And there were times when we experienced dynamics of grief, but then there were also times when we experienced, personally, that I experienced my father in a way that I don't think I have ever experienced him. In fact, I was on my way home and I looked at my fiance and I said, you know, I feel like I have a deeper, more profound relationship with my father now than I ever had in my entire life.
Yes.
And I feel like that is very true. I believe that is very true for me right now. So I did want to bring that up. And let me look at the time here. Just a second. Oh, we have a few more minutes. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and pass this on to Cheyenne so you can give a closing remark if you have anything else to say.
Yeah. First off, I'd like to thank everybody for coming. And I really sincerely, sincerely hope that there have been some listeners that were able to take some part of this and say, oh, my gosh, that's it. That's always important to me. But as you were saying, yeah, I mean, the relationship that I've had with my grandfather since he has passed away, it's in different form, it's everything else, but it's stronger, believe it or not. it's a lot stronger, and for that I'm very grateful. The biggest thing, too, I want to get across to people is, you know, it takes time. It's not going to take a day. It may take years or whatever. But as I said, it's like when you're on your journey. You know, you may have a certain lesson that repeats and repeats and repeats. And each time you go deeper into it, and it can be the same thing, especially depending upon the relationship with whoever it was that crossed over that relationship with you. It'll go in different stages, different layers. Don't beat yourself up. don't blame. Don't go inside your head and say, only if. It is a normal process. It has always been that way. Everyone goes through it. How they handle it and what they want to do with it, that is up to the individual. But honestly, I don't like seeing people in pain. I never have. But I also know that the pain serves a reason. And as I said, if you're in pain and you get a thought or an idea or something, follow through with it, because there's definitely a reason that you're getting that thought in the middle of that pain. Don't be afraid to do whatever it is that you need to do for you. Not talk about husbands, boyfriends, children, anybody else, because if you're not all there, it doesn't matter. So do whatever it is that you need to do for you, and also do not feel guilty about doing it. It is not a guilt thing if we're doing something that is healing ourselves or that is putting ourselves on that path. There is nothing guilty about that. And with that, that's about all I have to say for the evening. I'd like to thank Natalie for hosting, and I'd like to thank everybody in the room. Priestess Candy's always there. Judy Noah, I'm not in the room, but I do know there's a lot that goes on in there. And I really, really appreciated being able to come and do the show tonight. Been going through my own kind of stuff, so for me it was a blessing to be able to do it. And it was very nice being able to do it with you, James. So with that, I'll give it back to you.
Well, thank you, Shiny, and I am so glad that you're back. We actually had Chris fill in for you, so it was fun, but I did miss you, and I tried calling you last week, but you were probably in your own, doing your own thing, so I am very glad that you're back. I would like to say thank you to everybody that's working the room. I am also not in the chat room. I tried it one time to do the chat, and I can't really manage the chat and talk at the same time. So,
yes, you can. Yeah.
I can. Okay, well.
If I can do it,
well,
you
know what? That
it.
Is Denise. Denise is certainly gifted in that area. She's able to watch the chat and do that at the same time. So, yes, but I'm going to go, and I want to say thank you to Natalie, too, because this is the highlight of my week. I'm so, you know, this is such a fun time for me. Even talking about grief, I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation today, and I really hope that the listeners did as well. And Natalie, I'll go ahead and pass this on to you.
Yeah, I was listening, and, you know, everybody knows that I went through something myself, quite a few years ago, I lost my parents less than 5 months apart of each other, and I was an only child. And thinking back, and after I lost my husband, thinking back just this year, as a matter of fact, I don't really think I mourned them. I just went on with my life. It was really, that's a strange thing, but they were so close, like I said, less than 5 months apart of each other. I think I just stayed in one hole and just stayed there and went to, you know, I just stayed there. It was probably, maybe I grieved and I didn't really know. I didn't really cry either. I guess that's something that probably would have to be looked into, but I got through that. Going through with my husband and that passing, I think it's because that I had to take care of him for 2 years at home and go through all of that. And I can tell you from my experience, it's not easy. I can watch something on television, and it's a trigger. I can hear words. I can see something on Facebook that somebody's, you know, oh, I'm with my husband. I'm having such a good time. That's all it takes. Then I get off. I can't. And you don't know when it's going to happen to you either. Now, you know, my doctor that I go to, she said the first year, you didn't look good at all. The last year, she said, well, still not good. She said, this year, she said, what have you done? I said, well, and I'm saying this because there's people out there that are going to listen. I think probably it was time, like both of you said, and I think part of it was just staying so super busy. You know, we're putting the magazine up on Kindle, and Stars is doing really well. We've got banner ads now on 75 sites, and I'm doing a lot of stuff. And I think by staying busy, it helps, but there are moments in the morning and moments at night that are not really good for me. And I have two really good girlfriends. I have an awesome son. Everybody would love him. And my granddaughter, my son, is feeling the same thing that I am. We talk about him when just him and I are together, and I think it's really good to do that. He expresses how he feels, and they were best friends, and it's been a big loss for him. So you're both right. You go forward like five steps, and then you fall back to that back three. But a trigger, anything can start it up again for you. It's not like flipping pages and you get to the end of the book and you say, well, it's over. It's not. Look at me. It's two and a half years now, and I can get hysterical. But I will tell you this, and this is spiritual, and James and Cheyenne both know this. When I get that bad, and I told my doctor this, she said, what do? I said, well, if I'm out of control, all of a sudden, and I really have to say I think it's Jesus that comes to me, and I stop, and I say, I'm needed. A lot of people are depending upon me, meaning stars, all of you that listen, all of you. I have a job to do here, and I just get up. I don't even say that's enough of that. I just get up and go to the computer, and off I go. You have to find the things that really doesn't make up for it. It never will. You know, my son and I both say it will never be okay. It won't. I'm not gonna lie to you. But you're going to deal with it much better. You can laugh. You have to surround yourself with real good people that really love you. I have 154 on the site that love me, you know, and I can go to any one of them. I can call any one of them at any moment in time and say, I'm really having a bad time. Can you help me? And I would get help, and I get that love and that compassion. I'm very blessed with that. And somebody just said, right, Natalie, that's true. It really is true. So all of you who are going to go through this, take a little bit of everything that we have said. It's a wonderful topic. Thank you, James and Cheyenne. Just beautiful things. You're giving me goosebumps. Everybody in the room we have, and my room setup here is really cool because I can see everything all at once. I don't have to go back up to this silly little tab. They made it really nice. That's probably why we had a mess last week, but they didn't want to tell me. We have, of course, Stars Mystical Waters is sitting in there, Stars Karma Kira. I'm so glad to see her. I haven't seen her in the room in a while. Stars Judy Noah is back with us, and we have some guests, and, of course, Candy, our Stars Candy, who does so much on Twitter, so much on Facebook. I just did a launch, a boost for Stars, a promotion for Stars. So I'm excited about that to see how it goes for 8 days because that's going to be a really big test for us. And just come back next week. I don't know what the topic is, but you know I'm going to ask these two their ideas. I'm going to find out what they want to do because they really come up with all of the topics. It's, you know, I'll just say, gee, that's really good. And Cheyenne, we're so happy you're back. You sound really awesome.
Thank you.
You know, I love you both very much. I'm very, very lucky. Of course, we missed Denise tonight and Chris. I'm sure they'll all be back. We'll all be back. I know we'll be back next week. I just don't know if it's going to be all of us or whatever, but the show will go on, and hope all of you will return. And thank you again for coming, and know everyone in that room and everybody that's listening that you are all stars with me, and I love you very much. So with that, I'll say good night, and everybody have a good evening. Everything's starting on television tonight, you know, all the new stuff, so tune into that. Make yourself feel good.
Find I don't have a TV, Natalie. What am I going to do?
Well, geez. Come on, James. You don't have a television? Oh, my gosh.
No, I don't have I have lots of books. I don't have a television. I have a computer.
Okay. Oh, my guy is James Bader is on tonight. Oh, he is just, I love that man. But I found
a
new one. If you ever watch Ray Donovan, oh, that guy, he is, oh, yes, he's on my list, too, and I've got a lot of them. So anybody have a good night. See, we're ending this with a little bit of laughter, which is really good for everybody. Thank you again, everyone, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
All right.
Love you.
Love you.
Night.